Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm in a little better mood today. I changed hats, just kind of a maybe an outward expression of a little bit more peace inside of me. I call this hat this here. This is my secret agent Christianity hat that I wear every once in a while. I thought maybe it'd be time to put a little bit of camo on today. I never say this. We have these hats. Just send us a donation. I'll send you a hat. That's simple, man. You can wear it. These are great conversation starters. Everywhere I go, when I wear my hat, I draw a dividing line. As soon as I walk into the room, as soon as I walk into the Kmart, I don't go to Kmart. As soon as I walk into Walmart, try not to go to Walmart. As soon as I walk in anywhere, they know where I stand. It's a great dividing line. People are for me and people are against me based what's on the top of that head. And we got a bunch of these. You're out there and you want a hat? Just go online, order one. We'll shoot one right out to you. I do feel better today. Jared put some of that wear up there that we have on our website. And camo hats, I think I may have to get some more of those ordered. I think I'm kind of low on them. I don't want to apologize for yesterday because what happened yesterday came right out of my heart. I was a little bit frustrated yesterday. And one of the things I want to guard against is the idea that I would come across as negative. Because, man, I'm telling you, there ain't a negative bone in my body, really. My mom, from the time I was... She always called me the cockeyed optimist. And like I told you guys before, in the middle of a football game, if the other team's driving, I just know they're about to fumble. That just was always the way I've always lived my life. And even as we sit here today and we look at everything that's going on out in the world, I'm crazy enough to think that we can put a team together and we can still win. That's where I'm coming from. So I'm not I'm sorry for the rant yesterday, but I wanted to it was just the truth, dang on it. It's just the truth. I'm tired of wounds in my friends. Hardness, things hard enough without those who are supposed to be on my side. Hey, listen, we need you, man. We need you. June 16th and 17th. Kevin's going to have it up here on the website soon. We're having our annual boot camp here in the Columbus area. Some of you are listening and you're far away. Okay, I understand that. I'm going to tell you something. This will be a life-changing experience for you. If you could get out here. It ain't the Ritz-Carlton, okay? We got a campground with some beds, and we'll take care of you out here, and it's not going to be expensive. Your greatest expense is going to be traveling. We're going to take you on Friday night, the 16th. We're going to train you on what you're going to see the next day. We'll do some fellowships. Roger will bring some cigars. Well, those of you who want to sin can smoke some cigars. And then on Saturday morning, we're going to get up, and we're going to go to the homosexual pride parade. We're going to go to it because you need to see that. And we're going to go, yeah, we'll carry signs, and yeah, we may say some things that don't seem very friendly, but we're going to go. And until you know what the enemy looks like, you don't have any idea what you're up against. This is June 16th and 17th. We'll be overdone early Sunday before noon, so you can get home on Sunday. It won't be that long a weekend. Come on, man. We need you. We need you. A lot of you out there, you're itching to get involved. I know you are. But it's like anything else. I heard a comment. I don't know where I heard. Doesn't matter. Eddie Rickenbacker, I think, although I could be wrong, but I think it was Eddie Rickenbacker, when somebody asked him the definition of courage, you know what he said? Profound. He said, courage is doing what you're afraid to do. There it is, isn't it? It's no more complicated than that. If you're afraid to do it, you need some courage to do it. Now, luckily, fear is often sometimes a protective agent, right? Keeps you from doing stupid stuff. But if you've never gone to the street, you've never lived out your faith, come on, man, June 16th and 17th. If you don't have the finance, say, Coach, I really want to come, but I don't have the money to get there, we're going to do what we can to try to make that happen. Because I know this, George Soros is paying for the other team to be on the field. He is. He's paying for the other team to be on the field. And our guys, when we want to come and fight, we have to dig into our own pockets. See, there's something wrong with that. Something wrong with that. And I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. If all of you watch and just send us $20 a month, $20 a stinking month, be honest with you, not many of you are doing it. If you send us $20 a month, I could help fund all these guys coming in. They wouldn't have to pay. Does it matter to you? Or do we just want to be like church? We come and sit, be like Fox News, just analyze everything. They're looking out for us. We just talk about all the problems of the world, and then nobody does anything about it. Well, we have a game plan. We have an action plan. We're going to go. And you say, well, coach, I can't come. But could you send $20 and help somebody else go? Could you go on our website and click on that and make a $20 a month donation? This is not hard. Come on. Let's say there are 200 of you out there that are watching this right now. I know there are more than that, a lot more than that. If 200 of you would just go to the website and click today, and give us $20, that would be $4,000. I could help fly some guys in. I could take the burden off of them to help them grow. Man, oh man, some of you guys are going to church and wasting your money. Oh, coach, you always get in trouble. Feeding that beast at your local church, tithing to that. I don't even know what to tell you. Tithing to those sissy jean boys up there playing that music and the light and the puff, the smoke and the padded pews. And you're paying your money for that and thinking that's the gospel because they've programmed you and told you that you had to. Bring all the tithing to the storehouse, right? Well, I think we're a storehouse. We're storing up some money. We're going to put some boots on the ground. I don't beg for money. You watch it. I ain't going to beg because I don't do that. But there's a need. Hey, it ain't my need. No, it's not me. I can name five guys right now I know would come if some of you give me $20 a month, I could fly them in. I'd name five that would love to come and love to grow. See, this doesn't have to be. You get what I'm saying. Come on, dudes. Come on. So I'm going to do some teaching today. After doing all that rant yesterday, some stuff I think we need, rather than just always complaining, which is basically what talk radio is and what most programs are. It was Mike Heath, Jared's dad, that told me something that really kind of resonated with me. He says, coach, the difference with you is you're bigger than life in that. You don't just talk about it. People can come to Louisville, Kentucky, and there you are. They can see my guy. He's here. You know, you go to Franklin Graham. I'm not making fun of Franklin Graham. You go to Samaritan's Purse. They go out there. You go down to Guatemala, wherever you love to go. He ain't going to be there. Oh, he may fly in. But what we do, when you go, I'm there with you. I'm there with you the whole time, sleeping in a bed, snoring beside you. Right? This is an interactive. We're a team. We play together here. Nobody better than anybody else. But I'm appealing to you folks out there that help buy these guys a hamburger when they come. Don't make them have to dig. Don't make them have to pay their money to drive here and then buy their own hamburger. Soldiers don't do that. Yeah. So here we go today. I discovered something. Anybody want to say anything? Anybody want to jump in there before I move on? You say, hey, coach, should I come? Yes. You want me to come? Yes, I do. I want you to come. Yes, you hear me? I want you to come. Yes. Yeah, come. So I can't afford it. Well, if these guys pony up some money, we can take care of that. Where am I today? Oh, I got to show you this. Here's why we're screwed up. Jared, I don't even think you have this. I was going to forward you this morning. Donald Trump's over in where is he? Israel? He was in, somebody told me a long time ago, and I just kind of watch. They said when the President of the United States first gets elected, he goes to two places. He goes to England, sees the Queen, and he goes to Vatican, sees the Pope. Well, that's kind of happening right on cue, isn't it? And so I'm gonna show you a couple things here that I think are really critical for us to understand why the gospel is being retarded. Now, the gospel, that's not the right word. The gospel isn't being retarded, hindered. The gospel is being hindered, okay? Jared, I'm doing stream of consciousness here. I want to show you three scriptures. Can you guys bear with me? Three scriptures? I want to start where we started yesterday. I want to go back through this. Jared, go to Isaiah 1, Isaiah 2, Isaiah 1. It's really critical that I try to connect these dots for you, okay? Do you know this idea of, I'm not going to go back there, but this idea of Israel being the apple of God's eye wasn't really a big deal in 1948 when Israel became a country again. Then all of a sudden, all of American theology changed. All of American Christianity changed when Israel became a nation. And we are far more focused on Israel than we are on America. Somebody give me a thumbs up. You turn on to any Christian radio, any Christian TV, anything, and they're talking about Israel. And they're talking about Trump and Israel. Trump and Israel. Trump and Israel. And it's like we're stuck on, it's like our what's that called, that little thing that you used to play music on? It's stuck and keeps playing the same thing over and over and over. Trump and Israel, Trump and Israel. Israel and Israel. Listen, I don't care if you love Israel. I don't care if Israel's the apple of God's eye. That's not the point. Here's the point that I'm trying to make to you. That has become the gospel. Israel has become the gospel. Come on. Easy. Stay with me. I'm going to show you something, okay? Jared, are you in Isaiah 1? I'm going to connect the dot here for you. I'm going to put on some different glasses today. Brown matches my hat here. We read this yesterday, and it really stuck on me. Jared, let's begin verse 7. It says this in Isaiah 1, verse 7, and we read the rest of it yesterday, and I want to squeeze some stuff in here, so I'm not going to stay camped on this. Folks, this is us, okay? This is us. Your country is desolate. I could stop right there. How'd that happen to us? How did this once great Christian nation become desolate? We're so deeply in debt, trying to spend more and more and more. We used to have Christ at least somewhat at the center of everything that was going on. We've rejected Christ. We see what happened over in Manchester yesterday with the bombing. The world's desolate. The Christendom has become desolate. Establishment Christianity has become desolate. Why? Well, if we read up above it, we've rejected the truth. Your country's desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour in your presence. Strangers are eating our sustenance right here in front of us. Strangers devour it in your presence. We're watching it happen. And it is desolate, as if overthrown by strangers. We've been overthrown by strangers. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? Okay, Jared. So let's move to Matthew 11. I got some good things marked in here, Jared. Let me find my Bible. Matthew 11. Let's go running back there real quick. Because I talked about this yesterday, and I'm going to show you some stuff here. Oh, thank you, Lord. Jared's finally, I want to make sure I'm in the right spot. Yeah. No, that's not it. Yeah. Matthew 11, there it is. Verse 7. And as he departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John the Baptist, what'd you go in the wilderness to see? A reed shaking in the wind? What'd you go to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? No, those are pastors. They're the ones wearing the soft clothing. They're hiding in the churches and king's houses, as pastors are wearing soft clothing. What'd you go out to see? A prophet? Yeah, I see in you, but he's more than a prophet. Yeah, he's more than a prophet. Where am I? Jared, you keep flipping on me. There it is. 9. Well, what'd you went out to see? A prophet? Yeah, I see in you. Yeah, but it's more than a prophet. For this is he of whom is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And verily I say unto you, among them that was born of women, there shall not have risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom is greater than he. You notice they didn't call him Pastor John the Baptist or Reverend John the Baptist? They didn't call him any of that stuff because he didn't have himself a church. He was out roaring where the devil, big dogs were. So where all the prophets in the law prophesied unto John, and if you receive it, this is Elias, which was come. Jared, let's see. Where am I? Keep going down. I'm because I want to get to the end of this. I'm going to pull it up here in my own Bible here. let's go to from the days of John the Baptist and now. The kingdom of God is suffered violence. Verse 12 it is. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Time out. What's the kingdom of God? Remember that? Remember when I did, we did a show a few, a long time ago again on the kingdom of God? See, it says here that the kingdom of God has suffered violence. The kingdom, not the world. Not the church, the kingdom of God, not individuals. The kingdom of God has suffered violence. See, America's been stolen. Christianity has been stolen, folks. I turn on Fox News. I don't watch it. But if I turn it on, or I turn on Limbaugh. Have you noticed that the devil's kids are making all the rules? That we're living under the devil's rules? We're supposed to be living under the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be taking this kingdom of God and expanding it. We're supposed to be giving it to other people. But the kingdom of God has been stolen. It's been stolen by pacifists sitting in the churches. It's been stolen. Evil men crept in unaware. Matthew 25. Paint the picture here for us. Paint the picture here. Say, Coach, you're taking these scriptures out of context. Well, I am a bit. I am a bit. Matthew 25, verse 14. I think this all connects. I hope it does. Excuse me. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. I'm out. There's that daggone word again, kingdom of heaven. And this time he refers it to it as a stranger traveling to a far country. With me? For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And then unto Roger he gave 5 pounds. And unto Kevin he gave 2. And to George he only gave 1. And he gave these talents in this far country, in this kingdom, in this far country. He gave them each according to his ability and straightway took his journey. He said, get going there, boys. And then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and he made another 5. So did the guy with 2. But he that had received 1, old Georgie there, but he that had received 1 went out and digged it in the earth and hid. He hid his talent. Boy. Hey, guys, look at me. The church is teaching you to hide your talent. You're being taught to hide your talent. But see, if your talent doesn't, there's some good pastors out there. Come on, I know. But for the most part, they're all building their own kingdom. And when your agenda doesn't line up with their kingdom, even though you might have just that one talent, maybe your one talent is to agitate people. They don't let you even operate in that one talent. Okay? So there we see them. We're all going to give an account. George, you're going to give an account just for that one stupid thing you can do. And Roger, you're going to give an account for the 5 he gave you because you're a multi-talented guy, and at church they're telling you quit using those gifts. Stop that. You stop that. You're making the church look bad here. All right? Stay with me. Hey. Matt, yeah.
Well, I was just going to give an insight to that. I know that where I worship, I really believe that the highest a man can achieve his service is to be an usher. I've seen it. And I've seen men who are on the ball, who run businesses, eventually leave where I worship because they realize, wow, I can't use what I've been gifted to do. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's sad. It's sad to see that. A lot of these guys I've liked over the years. But
so Roger, let's go ahead. I'm sorry.
That there's no place to use their talents. It's really sad.
Okay. So like when we have this boot camp coming up on the 16th and 17th, I'm going to hear from about 10 people that say, how can I help, Coach? What is it I can do to help? And I'd say, well, here's what you do. Come in, pay your tithe, and sit down over there. We'll watch Kevin do it all. Right? Because just automatically you think that if we're going to do this, we're going to have 50 people there. Guys, probably going to need some help. And I got some skills here. How can I help? The church said, oh, we don't need you. Just pay your money, and we got all this staff here. We'll take care of it. And in the meantime, you're dying on the vine. I'm in Matthew 28. Remember this, the kingdom of God's like a man traveling to a far country, okay? Kingdom of God's like a man traveling to a far country. Verse 18, and he gave all of us talents when we went into this far country. And he says, you guys go out there and use all those talents I gave you, okay? And we're going to multiply them. Your talents are going to be multiplied. And then Jesus is getting ready to go home, and he's in verse 18 of Matthew 28. Jared, 18. And Jesus came, and he spoke unto them. These guys he'd given these talents to, right? And he's saying, hey, boys, listen, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. I'm in charge now. Okay? I'm in charge. And here's what I'm going to do, boys. I'm going to empower you with all the talents, gifts, and abilities that you have. I'm going to empower you. And here's how I'm going to empower you. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye, therefore. Because I got all the power, and I'm in charge, and you got all the talents and the skills because I equipped you with them. Now you go. What are you going to do when you go? Well, you're going to go to church and do praise and worship and then sit down and listen to Pastor John preach. Is that what it says to do? It says, no, you take those talents that you got and you go and you teach all nations. That nations, by the way, there is not countries, it's ethnos, ethnicity. Go teach all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. How about this one? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. He says, okay, I'm in charge. I'm large and in charge. I've equipped you and given you talents. All power is mine. Go out and teach everybody what I've given you. And by the way, he says, even at the end, in case you're kind of a little bit hesitant, I'm with you always. Always. Can you go anywhere where he isn't? No, you can't go anywhere where he is. Right? So we see we're not being taught this, guys. We're not being taught this. And that's why we've become almost useless.
You know, it's worse than that, Coach.
I know it is. It always is. Go ahead, Larry.
We, and by that, I'm using the word collectively for those around who claim that they're part of the family of God. We're out there trying to teach people how much Jesus loves them just the way they are without having to do anything and never have to do anything. And Jesus just did everything. And there was nothing on their part that they will ever be able to do that will be able to affect what Jesus has done. No. And that's been the message that's being taught instead of the commandments of the Lord. The Lord told us to go out there and teach what he commanded.
Larry, yes, but Larry, our churches tell us, go out there and get them saved. Right? Go ye into Guatemala and get them saved. That's not what it says. It says, go ye into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you.
Well, Dave,
and I'm with you.
Dave, the Bible also, we studied the Bible, says true love of God is obedience to his word.
Yes, sir.
So, Dave, if I could jump just one other thing. Another thing in this whole talents thing is we as men have been conditioned to never raise your hand and say this, I'm good at that. If you do that,
you're prideful.
Show humility. What men need to be taught, and they're not, is to raise their hand and say, I can do that.
Yep.
I'm good at that. And we have been conditioned in the church that if you rise up and say, I'm good at that, they turn to you and they say, well, that's not a very humble spirit.
Roger, you're prideful, Roger. Prideful. You better get your pride under control.
When the reality is, the strength of a man is to stand up and say, I can do that. But also, I tell people, if you have a moving party, you do not want me packing the truck. You do not want me packing the truck. Now, I can carry a box. I have to understand my gifting. But if you stand up and say, let me preach this Sunday. I have a message. I feel God's, I don't know, man. Or, and so men are beaten down with their gifting because it's pride, not humility. There's not enough humbleness.
Roger, you know what makes a great coach? There's a lot of great coaches. I'm going to give you the tidbit here. I'm going to tell you why your church is floundering. You ready? your church is floundering because all great coaches identify gifts of their players and put them in a position to exercise those gifts. All great coaches, all great teams. Every time I see a guy, I look at him physically. I say, man, there's a linebacker. Man, that guy would have been a good tackle. I understand. I recognize him. And then the more I get to know him, I understand what their gifts are. I say, well, wait a minute, I was wrong. I have you on offense. You need to be on defense. You play with a little bit more rage. We need to put you on the other side of the ball. Now, I'm going to ask you this. Does your pastor do that? Does your pastor look at you and say, you know what? Man, oh, man, I got to get you plugged in here. No, you know what they're going to tell you? We don't do that here. We don't do that here. Come in here and sit down. Shut up.
Hey, Coach.
And yeah.
You know, you use the football references. It makes me think, you know what a good coach does too? He finds people who might not be good linebackers or good defensive ends, and he puts them there anyways. And he teaches them how to do it to the best of their ability. I mean, that's what you did with me when I was on your team. I'm no great physical specimen, but man, I remember I had two games with the most tackles, and it was because of your coaching. And when I signed up in ninth grade to play football, that never would have happened without your teaching. That's what a good coach and good leader does.
That's right. Thanks, Dylan. And it wasn't my teaching or my coaching. It was me putting you in a position to be able to use your gifts. That's all it is. Putting you in a position to use your gifts. And sometimes you find out you're in a position and you don't have the gifts for that position. What's the job of the pastor then to move you into a position where you can? But see, guys, if the game's only played inside the church, there ain't many skills. Roger could rattle them off. Y'all could rattle them off. What are the jobs in your church? When you go on Sunday morning, what are the jobs? What are the jobs? Yeah, be an usher. I may work Sunday school.
The parking lot.
Park. I can park cars. What else? Oh, hey, by the way, all very, very spiritual gifts right there, right? See, you're not equipped, mobilized, trained to go ye into all the world. We're not trained to go ye into all the world, which was his commandment. Go ye into all the world. I've gifted you. I'm in charge. I'm larger than I'm in charge. I've given you the talents. Go, man. Go use them and teach us everything you go. Go, George.
So, Coach, would Roger or ushers?
Do that again, George. You broke up.
Would Roger and I get a great reward for being talented ushers?
Well, you know what? I could bring LeBron James in, and he could be an usher. Right? I could bring a guy in a wheelchair, and he could be an usher. Anybody be an usher. But see, they don't have any place else to put people. They don't want me at usher because I'll run everybody out. I'll run everybody out. Everybody wants to come sit on the bench. I'd say, no, hey, no bench sitting here, man. Everybody plays here. What do you got, man? What do you have to offer the team here? Huh? What do you have to offer? Say, oh, man, I'm a radical. I hate abortion. I want to go fight it. Oh, we don't do that here. No, we love people here. We love them. We love them all the way to hell. We love them that much.
Coach.
Yeah.
Just a thought. The church has it's this like hyper spirituality, right? I mean, God is this theological exercise, and there's no need to even be in the world, and they're all hypocrites. It's all hypocritical, you know. It's like, but that's it. It's this hyper God. It's unrealistic. It makes it unrealistic. It's not real. It's just this thing. This woo, and therefore we don't have to do anything about it.
Do you believe every pastor ought to teach his people how to street preach? Do you think every pastor in every church ought to say, hey, listen, we're doing street preaching training this week. We want some of you to come with me. We're going to go down this on the corner, and we're going to pass out some tracts, and we're going to do some street preaching. How many of you ever want to learn how to do that? They do that at your church? Anybody ever hear that doing? Because Jesus said, go ye where? Into all the world. He said, go ye into all the world. He said, you're not in the world. You're not of the world. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. He said, John the Baptist, what did he do? Kingdom of God suffered violence. We got to go take it back. And we're not doing any of that stuff. Can I show you why? Sure we can, because I'm running out of time here. Jared, I got two things up here. First thing I want you to put up there, Jared, is I just sent you this email. Here's why we're in the mess that we're in, okay? It says, it's just an, that's it. Okay, this comes from the Stang Strang Report, Stephen Strang, publisher of Charisma Magazine, sends out this alert. Look at this alert. Why Trump's historic visit to Israel will bless America. Hey, dude, we're killing freaking babies. We got men having rear end sex with each other over here. Hey, dude, we're having teachers in our school teach our children that there's no difference between a man and a woman. Hey, dude, we're teaching that you can be a man or you can be a woman or you can be whatever you want to be. Hey, dude, we're doing all that stuff. Hey, dude, we got us a government's out of control, lying, stealing, corrupting, crowd. We're out of control here. How the hell's what's Israel? Are you kidding me? Anybody see the irony other than me? This publisher of this Christian magazine focused again on what? There it is, the gospel of Israel. As if Trump's historic visit to Israel will bless America. Can I tell you what? This dude's head's stuck in a vice. How can you not see what's going on? Hey, Steve, look at us, will you? Will you look around us? Look at us. We got us a problem. Right here in the good old U.S. of A. Weren't you worried about what's going on here? Why are you so focused on Israel? Oh, my goodness, don't get me going. I'm going to get in a bad mood again. Wonder how many this email goes out to. They got Trump at the wailing wall. I hope he's wailing. Geez, I'm wailing. I'm here in my studio wailing. Holy, why aren't you wailing? I ain't wailing over Israel. I can promise you that. Boy, I'll get the emails now, you daggone idolaters of Israel. Give me a thumbs up just so they get somebody else to be mad at. It's idolatry. Idolatry of Israel. Idolatry of Israel. Israel, Israel, Israel. Israel.
Right on,
Coach. Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Just real quick. Who owns all the banks? Israel. Jews. And then we have... What do American Christians view as God's blessing? More stuff.
Money. More stuff. Money. More money. Yeah, yeah.
So yep, it's kind of true. Right. But the blessings aren't coming from God. They're coming from
Israel.
No,
they aren't, brother. And but they're not really, Jared, because all they do is they get students in debt. You get people in debt through mortgages. They get in debt through cars, and then you become a slave. We know that the scriptures tell us that the borrower is servant to the lender. We know that. And so this country and this group of people that we're blessing who aren't even bloodline Jews, we know that these people are putting us into financial bondage. See, it's part of the great deception. Oh, I'm in trouble now.
Hey, Jared.
I just got to tell you the truth, though.
Jared, what you just said was profound. The blessings aren't coming from God. You said when people are searching these financial blessings and stuff, most of the time they're coming through manipulation and other things.
Yep.
But you know what? The calling on each individual's life does come from God. It does not a person. Can you think of any place in the Bible where God instructed a third person to go up to somebody other than Jesus sending his disciples out? And that was God sending them. Other than Jesus sending people out, can you think of one place where people came up and said, oh, God told me you're supposed to go do that?
I don't think so, Larry. Don't think so. The only time I see third-person interference was...
If God calls...
Maybe this is why we got in trouble. Is at the wedding of Canaan, when Mary said, whatever he says unto you, do. She kind of stepped into the middle there, and as a result, she's now co-redemptress. She's now become in charge. Now we have to go through her. We got to go through her to get to her son. She's like, I'm sorry, Catholics. She's like God's secretary. Hey, Mary, can you get a message to Jesus for me? Hey, George, I'm ticking them all off today, buddy. It's okay. It's all good. Hey, you're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to make you free. Holy Spirit of God lives inside me. I don't need to talk to Mary. Sorry. Hey, Holy Coach. Spirit of God lives inside me. I don't have to do those rosary beads. I'm sorry if you think you have to. Yeah, George. or whoever that was. Is it George?
Hey, yeah. Hey, thank God you're ticking people off, because you know what? People need to hear it. Everywhere I go and I get an opportunity, I do the same thing, because if people don't understand this, they won't understand the true gospel.
They won't, bud. Hey, George, I want you to know this. I'm getting lots of thumbs up, more and more thumbs up every day, more and more. Okay, I got to show you something else here. Can I show you why else we're – see, we are – if you go to ask somebody the gospel, I think I've told you this before. I'm not going to embarrass anybody now or take any time now to say, explain the gospel. Or as my friends say, coach, just preach the gospel. We don't even know what that means. Hey, Jared, Google that, will you? Google gospel. Just let's find the dictionary definition of gospel. Okay. definition of gospel, it's often capitalized. It's a message concerning Christ, the kingdom of God, and salvation. It's one of the first four New Testament books telling of life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the message of teaching of a religious leader. Four, it's something accepted or promoted as infallible, truth, or as a guiding principle or doctrine. Take her words as gospel. Gospel music. So what is gospel? See, you can't just say share the gospel. You just can't say that, because that would be like, say, eat some food. Well, what kind of food? Well, we got all kinds of food. We have fish, we have chicken, we have salad, we have peanuts, we have milk, we have cheese, we have apples and oranges. Eat some food. Hey, just eat some food. And so we say, people, just share the gospel. Okay. Gospel of what? Are you following me? The gospel of what? And isn't it amazing that Jesus specifically said the gospel of the kingdom? He didn't say the gospel of salvation. See, salvation brings you into the kingdom. Salvation is just the beginning. You go out and you try to get people saved to bring them into the kingdom so they can go, ye therefore, and use their talents. He goes out, it's a recruiting tool. The gospel is a recruitment. It's a recruitment into the family of God. You can't just go out and recruit somebody into the kingdom and let them stack up like cordwood inside your church, waiting on the rapture bus. It's the gospel of the kingdom. What does that mean? There's a new king. There's a kingdom. Jesus just told us that it's like a man going off into a far country. That's what the kingdom of God's like. You're going off into enemy-held territory. Take your talents and your skills and go do it. But for most of us, get them saved and get them to church and get them tithing. And then they never grow. Somebody say, coach, this is really good. Somebody say that for me. Just give me a thumbs up. It means it. Because Dylan, it's really good. It's really good, man. Okay, now I'm going to show you something else. Another problem we have. How many of us heard of Campus Crusade for Christ? Sure we have. Athletes in Action. I'm not making fun of Bill Bright and his crew. Man, oh man, they brought a lot of people to Jesus. And I am no way. Uh-oh, thank you, Lord. You got to hear the Holy Spirit. He just said it to me. He just asked. I said, brought a lot of people to Jesus. You know what the Holy Spirit just said it to me? For what? Bill Bright brought a lot of people to Jesus. For what? To be saved? Well, yeah. But he brought them to Jesus so they might take the talents and abilities that God's given them and go ye into all the world. Teach them, baptize the nation, teaching them everything I've commanded you. That's why. That's why you give people the gospel. See, again, we think it's about salvation. We think it's get saved and sit in church. Save and go there on Sunday and raise your hands and feel the Spirit. So I'm going to show you what's happened to us. Between Billy Graham and Bill Bright. Man, I'm kicking them all today, aren't I? Don't want to. Okay, Jared. You guys ever hear that Bill Bright, 1963, I think it was, he began evangelizing on campuses. By the way, how's that going today? Campus Crusade for Christ, who changed their name, by the way. They're not Campus Crusade for Christ anymore. They're the crew. More up to date, more fashionable. The crew. He came up with the four spiritual laws. And he made these little cards that he would give to people. And he would give to people. He'd give to people. Four spiritual laws. It was a recruiting tool. Good one, I think. But here's what happens. See, they get recruited and they end up receiving Jesus. They come to Jesus. And then they go sit. Because when they go to the church, that's what they're told to do, to go sit. Or they're told to go get other people saved. But that would be okay, except that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us not to go get people saved. The Bible tells us to go make disciples. Those are not the same thing. You get saved so you can make disciples. You don't get saved so you can go to heaven. Oh, I just ought to go back to bed. Jared, where did I put that? Where is it, Jared? I know I gave it to you. Where is it over here? I know I did it. Oh, yeah, Jared, the very first thing there. It says www.mesaccedu. Here's the handout. Here's the four spiritual laws that Bill Bright made popular on campuses to receive people to Jesus. They handed these things out. Now, you tell me if this isn't pretty much the doctrine of the contemporary church. Okay, here we go. It says Bill Bright's four spiritual laws. In the mid-1960s, Bill Bright, then president of Campus Crusade for Christ, formulated the four spiritual laws. They have since become the standard model for conversion for the branches of Christianity that maintain that Jesus Christ stands at the door and knocks, but the individual must open the door and invite him into his or her life. Dot, dot, dot. For what? For what? Again, it's a standard model. Here we go. You ready? Number one, tell me if this is what's flying around your church. Number one, God loves you and offers a wonderful plan for your life. Joel Osteen's been built a multi-billion dollar ministry just on that. It's true. Except, can I give you my experience? It ain't been wonderful. This plan he's had for me, it ain't all been wonderful. Now, it's wonderful in the spirit. Spiritually, it's wonderful. But if you're following after God because you're going to have a wonderful life, a wonderful plan. What if your wonderful plan is to be beheaded for him? That'd be a wonderful plan, wouldn't it? I wonder how many people would come to Jesus if they knew that the wonderful plan was to get disemboweled publicly. Would you come to Jesus then? Number two. Man is sinful, separated from God. Therefore, he cannot know and experience God's love and plan for his life. There it is again. Guys, please don't miss this. Please don't miss this. The first two have put at the center man. Do this for your wonderful life and do this for the wonderful plan. See, if you do this, your life's going to be wonderful because he's got a wonderful plan just for you. Three, Jesus Christ is God's only provision for man's sin. I agree with that. Through him, you can know and experience God's love and plan for your life. There it is again. But it's about you. Come to Jesus and you're going to find out what this wonderful plan is for you. You might be able to be rich. You might get to go on vacations. God's got a lot of things planned for you. Wow, man, are you lucky. And then number four spiritual laws. This is flying in every church in America today. We must individually receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and then we can see and know and experience God's love and plan for our life. Can somebody show me here the cultural mandate of being a Christian? Can anybody show this to me here out of these four spiritual laws? These things are being printed off by the billions and handed out to people. And so people come to Jesus. Why? They've got a better life. You're a sinner, you need a better life, right? God loves you, you need a better life. Jesus Christ, you can have a better life. And then you're going to get actively involved, you're going to have a better life. Find out what your plan is so your life will be better. That's not the message, is it? The salvation message.
The main flaw in that message is the emphasis on salvation and the ignoring of the word Lord.
And discipleship.
Yeah, well, discipleship is a result of accepting someone as your Lord. Then you do what they tell you.
So, Larry, I'm an honest guy here. And I'm telling all of you out there right now your knees are knocking and you want to go to the Homo Pride Parade. I'm here to tell you, man, it takes some courage. It takes some courage to do it. It takes some courage to be a disciple of Jesus. You can sit in your church and you can hide from it all you want to, but the big dogs are barking out where they're outside your church. All right. They really are. I'd be wrong if I didn't tell you that. What we're going to go do on June 16th and 17th is scary as hell. I get scared every time I go. I'm scared as hell. But I go. I know what could happen there. Yeah, I'm scared. Hell yeah, I'm scared. I go. Because what's courage? Doing the thing you're afraid to do. Some of you guys want to grow? You want to grow spiritually? You want to sit? You want to lay in the shallows of religiosity? Then stay where you are. You want to grow? Come and join us. June 16th, 17th. Go ahead, Dylan.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I think it's those four spiritual laws. You know, it's a good example of how we've made our faith kind of about us, maybe more than we're supposed to. I didn't get saved for a plan, though. I think I've got one. I got saved to go kick evil's butt all day, every day, because I saw it in the world. I saw it in myself, and I wanted to both beat it in myself and beat it in the world. And nowadays we sell people this bill of goods. It's just like, oh, are you insecure about your life? Well, here's some security. Here's a plan. You'll be okay. Don't worry about it. That's not what it's about. That's a very selfish way to look at our faith. That's not what we're supposed to be doing.
So Dylan, we take all these people who've come to Jesus because of these four spiritual laws. Then we say to them, hey, listen, you got to get engaged and you got to go out and you got to stop abortion. And they said, what? I didn't sign up for that. That's not my plan for my life. I've got a wonderful plan, not that one. And so we've sold them something that's not true. They ought to be able to take their salvation back and get a refund for it. Because they got just part of it. They didn't get the whole deal here, Steve. They didn't get it all. Pastor Tim wants to weigh in here. He must be itching pretty good. I'm telling you the truth today, Tim.
Hey, do you ever wonder why we're not on the campuses anymore? Do you ever wonder why so many of us old guys are out there preaching and we don't see a whole lot of young guys being disciples?
Yeah, I do.
We're disciples.
We lost them. Anybody got anything to say?
Hey, Dylan. You know, what one generation tolerates, the next generation accepts. And you know what? We tolerated that nonsense, those four spiritual laws type nonsense. And now, look, it's just accepted. It's common.
Yeah, I'm back in now, Tim. I'm sorry, guys. I went out there. Go ahead, Tim. Continue going. I got knocked off for some reason.
Well, I was going to say, you know, it's interesting. I'm looking at the next generation that's not being transformed by being discipled. And the laws are made so we can't even go on high school campuses anymore to preach.
Tim?
And we old guys have got to be out there preaching. Okay. We've got to get out there and start preaching.
Hey, Tim, I'm going to show you right now. I lost everything behind me when I reloaded. Jared's trying to get me fixed up here. I got my green screen behind me. That's what it really looks like in my studio. Okay. Hey, give me a thumbs up. Can you hear me, JR? I'm trying to figure out if people are hearing me. Yeah, okay, good. Listen. Okay, thanks, JR. Listen to you out there. Hey, folks, you just heard Tim wants to come here. So somebody says, okay, not on the screen. Somebody listen right now. Send a check for $300 to pay Tim's flight out here. You can't go? You think we need to go? Hey, thanks, Jared.
We all need to be there, man. Let me tell you something. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where we get discipled at.
Okay, so Tim. I'm gonna call you here in about 2 days. I'm gonna say, hey, listen, hey, Tim, Terry down there in Baton Rouge, he paid your way to go. I'm asking for scholarships right now to bring these guys here. Tim Tubra should not have to pay his own money to come here. Now, he will. He shouldn't have to. Some of you guys out there can't come, but you can send somebody. I'm asking you to send somebody. Tim, mark it on your calendar, man. We need you here.
Hey, okay, man.
All right, buddy. Love you, buddy. Folks, I don't know why I got knocked off. I assume I'm back up. Jared's working hard to try. Boy, I did look discolored here today, and Jared's trying to do everything when I reset it. I'm going to show you something here. I don't need reinforcement. This is for everybody watching. Give me a thumbs up if this is butt-kicking show today. Give me a thumbs up. Come on, George. Give me a thumbs up, huh? This is butt-kicking show. This is where we live with it, okay? This is where we live with it. As soon as Jared gets this done, we'll play a real quick video for you.
Coach, while you're waiting, people out there going to an abortion clinic, street preaching, gay pride parades, there are other areas that they can be courageous. They can be courageous in their own homes, for crying out loud, or in school board meetings. There's a young lady in Detroit, in Michigan, that held a meeting to educate people on Islam. And she's just, I mean, the newspaper's after her, her neighbors are after her, and she's got a lot of courage. She hasn't gone to a gay pride parade, brother, but she's as courageous as can be. You can be courageous in your work. So it's not just confined to the areas you're talking about. It's all over the place. There's needs everywhere.
There, JR, stick your head out the door. Just stick your head out the door and you can see what's going on. But you know what? You're afraid. You're afraid. What's courage? Doing the thing you're afraid to do. Lord's going to look down on you someday. He can say, you mean you didn't do that because you're afraid of that dude? Are you kidding me? What? That stupid old job you had? You worried about that? What? I'd rather the souls? You kidding me, aren't you? You mean to tell me you're so worried about your job because you thought your job was more important than an unborn baby's life? What? And you were a disciple of mine, follower of mine? What's going on here? No, you got everything upside down, pal. See, you thought the gospel was about you. It wasn't about you. They may have told you that. Some 6-foot icicle may have told you the gospel was about you, but it ain't about you.
Dave.
You're going to stand before the Lord, you're going to hear that. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I was going to add also, and I think Bill Bright, great guy. I love Billy Graham, a lot of good stuff. I'm not by any means, you know, putting those.
Can't hear you, Roger.
Huh?
I can hear him.
Okay. But here's my point. Many would argue that during that era of time was one of the greatest movements, you know, the Billy Grahams, all that, the Bill Brights, Campus Crusade, the Navigators, all of that. And what do we have us to show for it now?
Brother, what do we have to show for it, huh?
A weak Christian environment right now. All the people that flooded through those ministries, all the people that evidently got saved through their ministries are the leaders of today, or were the leaders during the 80s and 90s. And Christianity has never been weaker in the United States.
Or, God, you're singing my song.
Or more oppressed, or more challenged, or more discarded than it is now. What happened to those people?
What happened to them, brother? Hey, Roger, they're looking for that wonderful plan for their life. They're still out there looking for that wonderful plan for their life. They're not looking for a wonderful plan for somebody else's life. Oh, now, wait a minute. Yes, they are down in Guatemala. Looking for a wonderful plan for somebody's life down in Guatemala. You're just not interested in it. Okay, guys, listen. We'll play a real quick video. Jared, I just sent it to you. I want this to sink in to you, okay? This is a 3-minute video. I got two of them. I couldn't figure out which one to show you today. This is a 3-minute video of Louisville, Kentucky. Okay, guy's being arrested down there in Louisville, Kentucky. And I just think that this video really captures the essence of in my mind, the essence of going ye into all the world, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the earth. To me, it isn't about being in a church. It isn't about any of that. It isn't about praise and worship in your church and going there and you feel better. Oh, I feel better. I feel better. Yeah, it's not about you, man. Despite what Bill Bright and everybody told you, it's not about you. This is a video. It's just been released, of 3-minute video of what happened down in Louisville, Kentucky. Go ahead and play that, Jared. Rescue those being led away to death.
The Lord is-
Rescue is being led away to death. Hold back those stumbling towards slaughter.
I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Action's better than talk.
In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus.
Your church is come. Stand in the gap, to make up the hedge, Lord. Hallelujah.
That's pretty powerful. Greater love has no man than this, and he would lay down his life for his friends. See, we're in the mess we're in because we love ourselves too much. We do. Hey, listen. Ray just emailed me. Hey, Tim, come to Ohio. Ray just picked up your tab. Make those reservations, Tim.
Wow.
Huh? You're on your way to Ohio, Tim. Thank you, Ray LeBlanc. Thank you, brother. More of you out there. Folks, I got more people that want to come. I got more people. Do me a favor. Some of you right now, go to the website, send us 200, 250, 300, whatever you can do, and then take a note and write it. Write the note and put it in the offering plate. Pastor, I didn't give it to you. I didn't give you 250 this month. I gave it for Tim to be able to come to Ohio. See, folks, your money, your tithe, is more than just money to go to your church to keep the church running. That's not what it's about. We're actively putting men on the street. Tim Tubra is going to be able to come because Ray LeBlanc just paid for him. And Tim don't even know Ray. I'm going to tell you, Ray, when Tim goes, you go. Folks, now it's time. Let's stop griping and moaning and complaining. Let's stand up and fight back and do something about it. It will glorify the Lord. Come and join us June 16th and 17th. We're going to help you grow in your faith, and you are going to begin to be able to build a downline, a group of people right where you live. Spiritual boot camp, June 16th and 17th. Come and join us. If you can't come, pay for somebody else to. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.